FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Got a little rain, a little drizzle going on, but it's still a great day. And it's a great day to be inside because we have a really good guest here today. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're on 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is they'll go into your home and they'll take care of the normal chores and duties that you would normally have if you were able to do it anymore. And if you've gotten older and maybe having some physical problems, you don't have to move out of your home. Give them a call at 713-4639, or you can reach them on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And once you call, they will come out. They will set up a service for you that's 24/7, and you can still maintain the quality of life that you've always been able to enjoy. So give them a call. And my special guest today is Sarah Bell, and Gordon and Sarah Bell, and they have one of the most beautiful homes in Rutherford County. And it's an interesting home. I was over there, my wife and I were the other night, had a really great meal, Sarah Bell. I mean, you never go to Sarah's house unless you're fed as well as any place in Rutherford County. And how much was the bill? Because I don't remember how much you were charging that
yours
night.
There's no way you would have paid it if there'd been one.
Well, you're probably right. I think... But it's not just the meal, it's the company, and I enjoy being there so much with you and Gordon and the other special guests that you have there today. And I always learn something new. And Gordon took me upstairs, and I got to learn about his dad, who was in World War I, which is just really fascinates me that Gordon's dad could have been in World War I. And I saw all the memorabilia that he had, he had something that was given to Johnny Cash's daughter from Ronald Reagan to honor him for the service that he had,
yes,
that he did while he was in World War I, which was really amazing to me.
Yes. Kelly Cash came to visit the VA when he was a patient out there, and he happened to be the oldest patient at the time.
Wow.
So he was honored that day.
And I was tickled to death to see all that. And unfortunately, I've got to go back because I didn't have my glasses with me where I could see it as well as I wanted to. And while we're up there, Gordon showed me a very interesting piece of furniture. And of course, Gordon and Sarah Bell, you automatically think of the Bells around here. But he bought a piece of furniture that used to belong to John Bell. And if people who are readers are very interested in the past happenings that kind of get your attention, John Bell was from Adams, Tennessee, and family were the reason that the book The Bell Witch was written.
Right. I've never read the book.
You've never read it?
No.
I have read it two or three times, and it's one of the most interesting books I've ever read. And, of course, the real character in the book was a lady by the name of Kate. And Kate was supposed to be a witch that actually haunted that piece of property. Now, I find that fascinating that it went from one Bell to another Bell, and you do have a very interesting home.
We do have a nice home, yes. I really enjoy being in our house. It's an older home. It has quite a history.
I envy you. And I tell you what, I've always loved the older homes in downtown Murfreesboro, whether it was from Spring Street to Main Street and all up and down. Each one of them has their own character. And I was talking to Jim Smythe and told him that I had been in your home and got to experience some interesting things. And I think we're trying to get into a competition because he said, you've got to go through my home and you will really see some interesting things in there.
Right.
So you've always been so sweet to open your home. And a lot of the times you have fundraisers there for special trips that you go out and do some missions. And one of the areas that you absolutely have evidently been drawn to is South Dakota.
Yes.
And you love to go up there.
Yes, the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And it's very dear to my heart, and I can't imagine not having contact with those people regularly.
Now, you've been doing this a long time.
28 years.
Oh, that's amazing. So just about everybody in the Pine Ridge area knows you by now.
Well, there's people in each area that knows who I am, yes.
Now, one of your favorite people is passed on now.
Yes.
And a lady by the name of Fern. And tell us about your relationship with Fern.
Well, Fern was, when I got to know her, probably was about 70 years old. She had retired and come back to the reservation to live on her daughter's husband's property. And she was a very good friend of mine. And if I ever said or did anything I shouldn't have done, she would be quick to tell me and very lovingly tell me that was probably something I didn't need to do, or I needed to do it differently or whatever. And I really appreciated her input mm-hmm. for me to help me stay out of trouble. She lived in a little building that was about probably 10 by 10.
That's
it was
amazing.
Made out of plywood with insulation on the inside and nothing else, no wall boards or anything. Mm-hmm. Insulation on the ceiling, and that's where she lived year round.
And it gets cold.
Very cold. And she did have a propane heater. Her stove was propane. And as many of us know that go up there quite frequently, they do run out of propane from time to time because they don't have enough money to buy more.
And that's on the Indian Reservation,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's
And she chose to come back there.
She chose to come back there, yes. Yes. To be near her family.
Their way of life is very complicated to most of the rest of us because the life that they choose to lead.
Yes.
And have you ever felt uncomfortable while you were there on the reservation?
I think in the first two or three years that we went, I felt uncomfortable, but it was because we were taught to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are things that can go on there. There are places that you can get yourself into that you should be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But as we talked about my house before, it's in a neighborhood that if you're not careful, you could be very uncomfortable there too.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't feel uncomfortable at all, but I do know in the back of what's left of my brain that there could be, you know, there's things that you need to watch for and be aware of what's going on around you, but not to a degree that I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very comfortable with the people, and I feel like many of them are very comfortable with me.
And you don't go in not knowing that this is their home, this is their place. You play by their rules.
That's right.
And I think once you go in and you understand that, and of course having somebody like Fern to make sure that you are doing the things that you should to be able to create a bond between yourself and the other people and let them know that you're there for them.
Yes.
I think that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yes. You have to go in with a little bit of a different attitude about life. It is, for lack of a better word, it's a foreign country
mm-hmm.
here in our United States, because when you cross over the reservation line, you cross into their laws, their world, and, you know, it's just like being in another country.
Okay. The thing that's always bothered me is that they have remained in poverty for so long. Is it just that it's their choice, or what is it that seems to hold them back? Because, you know, I know you've got a lot of bright people that live over in that area, but it seems like they've lost their will or their goals or whatever. I mean, maybe they still want to live in the past and be the way they used to be.
I think they would like to be the way they used to be, but there's many, many, many of them that would love to have a job, but there's no jobs available. There's no type of industry there that where they could go look for a job. Or you have the hospital and you have the schools and the government, and that's about that, you know. And they do have a college that a lot of the kids are now attending to better themselves, where they can get a 2-year degree, an associate's degree, 4-year degree, and all the way up to a doctorate. But when I say college, we don't need to think about MTSU.
Right.
Probably don't even need to think about one building at MTSU because their facility is so small. And each community, like Manderson, where I go, has a branch of their college, and the building probably is maybe 80 by 100, mm-hmm. something like that, maybe not even that big. But it does give them an opportunity to go there for classes, and they have professors come in and teach different classes. And one of the hottest things that they're doing right now is the Lakota language. They're mm-hmm. trying to get the language back into the schools for the kids, which is wonderful, to teach them their own language.
Yeah, that's so sad. I mean, you lose your way of life, you lose your own language and everything. Yeah, that's pretty stressful. I can't imagine being able to do that. And they still want to maintain, you know, the old ways, and I certainly see that. If I were one of them, I'd probably be the same way. And I find it interesting, and I know you've seen this, where they will get a degree and can go on and become successful in other areas, but there's a big draw to come back
to
be the way they were.
It is a big draw to come back, and some of the teachers come back, and I think that's good when they can come back and teach the children and show them that, yes, you can do something with your life. And even those who come back with other degrees rather than education are there as an example for people to follow that, yes, you can do something. And a lot of those people that do come back are coming back to help the people grow to better themselves.
Now, the Lakotas are basically the old Sioux, right?
Yes.
And people are listening and really don't know who they are. They were a very powerful tribe.
Yes.
Back in the 1800s. And of course, everybody remembers Sitting Bull, but you and I know that Sitting Bull was not really the big chief that was going on back then. That was a warrior by the name of Crazy Horse.
Right.
And they are, and I'm glad to see them do this, they are building a huge, huge monument of Crazy Horse over there. Have you seen it yet?
I have. I haven't been in the last 2-3 years. I don't go to Mount Rushmore anymore at all because it doesn't change. But
right.
I do like to go back to Crazy Horse every 2, 3, 4 years and see what they've done. But it's massive. It's just, it's hard to believe. It makes Mount Rushmore looked like a small little sculpture or something.
Somebody was telling me that just the neck from Crazy Horse to up to his head is as tall as the Empire State Building. And that shows you how huge that thing is.
Well, I don't know that one, but the stretch of his arm is mm-hmm. 3 football fields long.
Wow.
And so it's, yeah.
You think of something, you know that's got to make them proud.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad that they're doing that. But I wish there was some way that they could change the structure and make those people even more proud of their heritage so they can become successful where they are now and they don't have to leave their homeland. That's something that really needs to be doing. But you guys really do a great job because you take the ministry up there.
We do Bible school for the kids. Well, we do Bible school for all ages, babies all the way up to the oldest adult ladies and men. And it's been amazing to watch it progress over the years and to watch those people get so excited because we're there. And
was Don Edwards one of the first ones to start doing that?
He was the first, yes, at Southeast, yes.
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't know, he was the minister at Southeast Baptist for about 20 years, something close
something
to that.
Like that.
And he was so interested in doing positive things for people. And Sarah Bell, I think you were one of the first ones to jump in there, and you were so interested in it. And there have been quite a few people, not only from Southeast, but from other ministries that have gone up there, right, and found that such a great place to go and try to care for people.
Right. There's three churches from Murfreesboro that go each summer, and of course now First Baptist is going as sponsor of the team that I go with, and then Northside Baptist started going probably 5 years ago, something like that. First Church of God on Sanborn, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, mm-hmm, now,
yeah,
have been going for since 1988, and then First Presbyterian goes. And when I was there last week, my friend Pinky and my adopted sister Pinky was telling me that she had met a veterinarian to come in to give rabies shots to their dogs. Was from 20 miles from Murfreesboro, and she didn't know what town he was from.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say he. She never told me it was a man or a woman. Could have been a woman anyway. But I don't know. She was going to find out where that person came from, and she never did have time to do it before I left.
And this has been such a great benefit, not only to them, but for each one of you, because it's got to give you a whole lot of pride and enjoyment meeting so many new friends up there.
Yes.
And learn from a different society.
Yes, yes. And, we go share love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people there are starving for, is somebody just to show that they do care.
I've been through a couple of the villages, not up there, but in Arizona and some other places out in the south, and southwest, and it just seems like that the men more than the women seem to be more devastated by not being able to do the things that they used to be able to do as warriors and hunters and to be the providers for their family. It seems like that has been all taken away from them, and it's very hard for them to deal with it.
Right. When the United States Army went in and destroyed all the buffalo and took their means of providing for their family away from them, I'm sure that had to have been a major, major insult to their egos. Because at that point, they couldn't provide. There was, that would be hard.
Now, you've got some interesting things going on here in Murfreesboro.
Yes.
And tell us about what we're going to do on our tours and stuff.
Okay. Living in the house we live in, we have...
Which is on Manny.
Which is on Manny Avenue, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten quite active in the Oakland's Historic House Museum Society, Association, or whatever. And they're having a few things come up. The first would be called Memories of Murfreesboro.
Mm.
It's a tour of the Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland's Mansion, and it's going to happen on October the 21st and 22nd, starting at 6 o'clock. The tour begins at Oakland's, and we'll go to the Evergreen Cemetery, and They will meet some of the residents of the cemetery when they go in there.
Oh, really?
They'll explain some of their what they did when they were alive and walking on this earth, mm-hmm, and how they helped Murfreesboro to start.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So. Now who's going to lead that?
James Manning is overseer, or whatever you want to call it,
right,
in Oakland.
So he's the boss.
Mary Beth Nevels is in charge of the walking tour. But
people are actually going to walk that entire tour, right?
Right.
Down Manny and Oakland's and all through there.
And over to the cemetery. And,
wow.
And, so they.
I presume this is going to be an evening walk.
Yes, it will start at 6 o'clock. It's beginning to get a little dark, as the evening progresses, it will get darker.
Is there any reason why they're doing it at this time of year? It doesn't have anything to do with Halloween, I presume.
Well, no, probably not. But Oakland's right now is dressed in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
It has the black black things hanging all over the mirrors of cover,
right,
and that kind of thing. So I don't know how they chose this particular time, unless it did happen to deal with the thoughts of Halloween back there somewhere.
Oakland is probably, and I may be wrong, but isn't it the oldest house standing in Murfreesboro as far as the history of it when it was first built?
I'm not sure if it's the oldest, but I'd say it's one of the oldest.
And your house is within a stone's throw almost from that. And your house was built in, I think you said, 1866, I believe.
Yes. And the thing that I'm looking forward to with our house and other houses on Manny Avenue is the candlelight tour that Oakland's doing in December. And be the first Saturday in December, December the 3rd, start at 4 o'clock and goes through 8. There's several houses on Manny Avenue, and that would, hopefully the weather's going to be nice, and it'll be a nice walking, it's a nice street to walk down.
I know you're proud to live in that home. It is an absolutely gorgeous home. And if no one's ever seen it, you need to drive by. It goes back in time, and it looks like a house that was built in the 1860s, but from the well-to-do. It's absolutely gorgeous. Three stories.
If you count the basement, it's four.
I was going to say, you do have a basement in there. And every place that you go is different in that house, and it's such a wonderful experience. And you can almost feel it as you go from room to room that the house comes alive. It really does. And, of course, you and Gordon have done a lot for that house, because you've remodeled a lot of things. But it still has the 1860 aura about it in every room that you go in. And I there's not a house in Rutherford County that I enjoy more than that particular house, because each room has its own identity. And I know that I was talking about the John Bell thing that we were fussing about earlier, but I have read that book a number of times, but you have done things to it, just like that one room where the bedroom where you have the black wallpaper and all of that.
Yes.
That is the room that all Gordon's dad's memorabilia is in there.
Yes.
And it's one of the most interesting things that I've ever seen. And I think that you guys could probably stay busy giving tours through your house, talking about each room and the things that are in there. And to live in a place like that, it's got to be fascinating.
It is. The house itself is very, spoke to me the first time I walked through the front door.
Literally?
Not literally, no. But
I wouldn't be surprised.
it made me feel like that was supposed to be my house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the country. We were totally happy out there. But when I walked through that front door in 1993, it was, it was just, it was strange the way it happened. And of course, we didn't get it in 1993. We didn't get it till 1997 because some complications. But anyway, as we started working on the house, we decided that we would work on one room at a time, and that didn't last very long because I got pretty boring, so we'd skip from one room to the other and do things. But in each room of the house, we tried to find the original wallpaper, which would be behind door facings or mantels or whatever, and we managed to find it in all the rooms but one. And the wallpaper that's on that wall in that room seemed to fit with us. We have no idea what was in there in the beginning, so we just left it. We didn't do anything with it. And the other rooms, we have found paper, and some of the rooms weren't papered, some were just painted, that we could tell.
Was each room kind of painted, or the wallpaper was, do you think they were purposely changed from one room to another for a specific?
I would say in the very, very beginning, everything probably was very similar in all the rooms, But when Ms. Manny and her sister moved in and redid the house, I mean, they moved the stairway, they did a lot of physical changes in the house. I think at that time, decorating houses had changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now decorators, you know, there's supposed to be some tie to, in every room. Colors are supposed to kind of go from room to room, but that wasn't the way it was done then. The woodwork was painted different colors in each room, and so, you know, it's just, it's each room has its own personality. And
what was it that drew you to that house? Because I can see it, and I can understand why.
I don't know. It's just I really don't know. It's just a neat house on the inside. It was structurally sound on the inside. I don't know, but it was just amazing how I felt when I walked through the door.
Were there many changes on it? Because I know it was a dance studio at one time.
It was a dance.
Part of it was.
It was a dance studio. I think two rooms were used for dance, maybe three. But it's been used for, it was used for a bank in the very, very beginning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
After the builder, the guy that started the house went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. So the bank took it back and they used it for a bank for a while.
And that was right at the edge of the war being over with, Civil War.
Yes.
That's amazing. We'll be right back with that. Want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street, and that's in Shevelville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive down 231 South. It'll be on your left just before you get into Chevron. What a great day it would be to get out of the house and go see something interesting and go talk to some nice people. And you can't find any better people there at Pearl and Howerton and Chevron. And if you would like to call them before you leave, it's 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or pull them up on the internet, pearlhowerton.com. And it would be just such a great day to drive out there in your old car, and you may be getting that feeling, that the fever, that maybe you'd like to change cars. Well, this would be a great day for it. And I guarantee you, if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, and once you talk to them, you'll be driving back in a new vehicle.
Online only auction.
ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Bidding is open until Tuesday at 7 p.m. on this 4,000-plus square foot custom executive home at 2263 Haddington Circle. Four bedroom suites, 4.5 bath with amenities galore, granite, tile, extensive trim, tons of hardwood. Bidding open until Tuesday at 7 p.m. at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Auctioneer Derek Gerstenslager.
ReliantRealtyAuctions.com.
Firm number 5638.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
A big weekend ahead. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. The play Dracula continues at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. For information, give them a call at 904-ARTS. And on Saturday, the Lineball Library has a group of local authors to tell you about their books and share some interesting experiences. That's 2 until 4 Saturday in the reading room at the Lineball Library. That's at 110 West Vine Street, right there at the corner of South Church Street. It's absolutely free. And this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock, the Senior Ministry of First Baptist Church at 738 East Castle Street is sponsoring a fall gospel concert, Rejoicing in the Lord Through Songs. The musical guests include the Bingham Sisters, Deacon Albert Richardson, the Swanee Trumpeteers, and First Fruit. That's all at 6 o'clock this Saturday night at First Baptist Church on East Castle. It's a little over a week away, but you need to be aware that the second annual open house is coming up at the Juvenile Services Building. That's at 1710 South Church Street here in town. 4:30 until 6:30, Thursday afternoon, October the 20th. Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport, along with Magistrates Keith Siskin and Adam Dodd, invite you to tour their facility. Again, that's Thursday afternoon, October the 20th, from 4:30 until 6:30 in the evening. And the Juvenile Justice Center is at 1710 South Church Street, across from the Honda dealer. By the way, we'll be welcoming Judge Davenport to the WGNS microphones as a regular guest in the Action Line starting next month. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Cloudy this afternoon with a chance of seeing some light rain, high in the low 70s. Tonight, cloudy early, then gradual clearing, low near 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 68.
At Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad Street, we now have a European specialist on staff. Now you don't have to go to the dealer for service and repair on Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, and other Europeans. From oil changes to engine work, we can take care of it on foreign, domestic, and European vehicles. 962-9050.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
With today's guest, Sarah Bell.
We want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. They have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. Enjoy their Sunday live jazz brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avon Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And we were talking about your home, and it was in 1866. Do you have the historical times from one person built it and went from another on down to the time that you actually bought it?
Gordon has all that stored in his brain. I don't have it all in mine. I know that five or six people owned it before the Huddlestons moved in. Mm-hmm. They moved in 1904, 1905, and stayed there until the 70s.
At what point were the Mannies in there?
She moved in about 1892. And that's when the house was totally redone on the inside.
And that's the family, I presume, that Manny Avenue was probably named
yes,
after.
Yes, Ms. Manny moved in with her sister, who had bought the house, probably about a year before she moved in. And when she moved in with her, they remodeled the house.
And when you first came in to the house, how long did it take you to get your home up to the standards that you really wanted it to be? Because I know it was one of those labors of love where you just really enjoyed working on it.
Well, we worked on pretty much every room in the house except the living room. And well, we did a little bit of work in there too, but there's always going to be something to do. We won't ever be finished.
Now, one thing about it is, when you go in and clean the place up, I know it has a real nice aroma to it, as you do. What is it that comes up there every once in a while where you have a really distinct odor in one particular area?
Well, we don't know what that is. It sneaks up on us every now and then.
I was up there talking with Gordon, and we were having a big time, and I could tell him looking at me real funny as he was telling me about his dad and World War II and all the things that were going on. And he told me about the John Bell dresser and the chair. I think that was also John Bell's. And I kept smelling this really strange odor, and it's not an odor that I was very familiar with at all. And I noticed Gordon kept looking at me and smiling a little bit, and he finally admitted, he said, "You smell it, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." I do. I said, but I wasn't going to let you know I was smelling it. And he said, it only happens in this one area, and we're talking about from the stair on up into this particular room. And it only occurs at very special times. Now, do you find that interesting? Because I know that you have experience, and right now she's staring holes through me.
It is interesting, and it can't be explained, I don't think. Mm-hmm. People have tried to explain it, tried to come up with reasons for it, but, you know, none of them have really clicked yet, so I don't know. It's there and it's gone, so it's just hard to explain.
You know, that's one of the draws of the downtown historical area, because every house is so unique. I mean, it's just like the people that have been here before and that are living here now. Everything has its own personality in the downtown area,
yes.
in the especially the historical area. And I think it's so important that we be able to keep that,
yes.
as well as we have. And I have to really give a lot of credit to the Rutherford County Historical Society and a lot of the other groups that want to maintain the downtown character of Murfreesboro.
Yes, there's several groups that work to keep downtown, to keep the old and not let something new sneak in and mess up what the rest of it looks like. They're pretty good about watching and keeping things going the way it should be going.
And your house is one of the ones that really stands out in my mind. And you still have the brick sidewalks in front of your house.
Yes, we have. Our next-door neighbor's sidewalk was concrete when we moved there, but it had started crumbling. And theirs was dug up probably 6 or 7, could have been longer than that, years ago. And they were putting sidewalks down on our end of the street, which had not been there. And I was afraid they were going to dig up our sidewalk, but they didn't do that.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't. And it's funny that people live around there or who own land, they have interesting thoughts about your house. And one that we were discussing off the air, and he's a friend of mine and a friend of yours, and he has a garden pretty close to your house.
Yes.
And
yes, he sits out there and watches it grow. Yes.
Yeah. And he has seen or heard some very interesting things since he's been over there. And I don't know how he does it, but he keeps his mind on that garden and just tries to block all that the rest of the things that are not normal things out of his mind.
Yeah. I enjoy watching him work in his garden and sitting on the shade tree, like he is watching it grow, but I'm sure that he's resting from some hard work he's been doing in the garden. But I stop every now and then and tease him about watching it grow. But he's really a neat guy.
And it's almost like you've got a protective barrier around your home.
Yeah, we have a fence, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not talking about the fence. But, of course, being at Oaklands, or you're right close to Oaklands, I know you see a lot of traffic that goes in and out of there at night, and it's such a tremendous draw. And, you know, Oaklands is the one that gets so much of the attention because a lot has been poured into that, and it's probably maybe the most historical home that's in Rutherford County, or one of the most historical.
Right.
And do you ever go in Oaklands and just kind of compare, because there's really no way to compare the two together. But of course, you said it's probably built in the 1700s. You know, I don't know.
I'm not sure when it started exactly, because it started out as two rooms, and I'm not sure what years. And then they added to it several times to make it what it is now. But yes, we've gone in there, and people come to our house and say, we know you live here. Oaklands is a museum, and Oaklands is a museum. That's why it's called the Historic Museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be set up for people to enjoy and look back and see the type of furniture and that kind of stuff. And we have older furniture in our house too, but we also have areas in our house that has things that, you know, that we can live in.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in all of it. And people come in and say, well, what do you do about your grandchildren? Well, our grandchildren from day one have not been told they can't go into any part of the house. I mean, they have freedom to roam and freedom to do whatever. And if it's something that I'm heart attached to, it's locked up so nobody can touch it or get to it. It's in a cabinet that can be seen but not picked up and touched by the kids. And there's not too many of those in the house. So everything that they can see, they can touch. It's just we live there. And that's a little bit different than Oakland's. Nobody lives there, so it does feel like a museum when you go into it. But they have done a wonderful job, and they've worked really hard at keeping it time sensitive and making sure that things that are in it are right.
And it's gone through all kinds of economic conditions, and we've known it from time to time. It's been left unattended, and unfortunately, and there's been a lot of money thrown into Oakland to keep it the way it is. And I don't know if anybody has ever been through a tour of Oakland's, but it's extremely interesting. And they have people that are actually dressed up as in those particular times in the 1800s. And they tell about things such as what was going on during the war,
right,
and the generals and who was making the right decisions and all those things. And to be able to sit there and I look at your house, it has been through a lot of changes and a lot of economic conditions. And
yes.
And I think that for your house in particular, you and Gordon have done such a wonderful job of preserving the historical parts of that house. And I don't know if you plan for what your plans are for the house 50, 100 years from now when we're all gone. But I hope that house will be preserved, because it's almost like, I mean, I'm not talking about eerie, but it's like the house is alive when you go in there.
Right.
That's us walking back almost 200 years in time, almost. And it's amazing.
I don't know what's going to happen with it either. I do know that it was empty for a few years. And, of course, when houses are empty, you know, they begin to decay and all that's, you know, or not really decay because that house hadn't decayed, but they go down. And I have to commend Ann Holland for going into that house and putting it together, keeping it from falling down, and, you know, giving us a place to start.
And Ann was from the university.
Yes.
She used to teach over there.
Yes.
And I think she's just about always, since she's taught, has lived in that area somewhere on that side of town.
And she still lives in that area, and good neighbor.
You know, what's interesting is when that house was built in 1866, or when it was finished, that was some pretty tough times here, because the war was still going on once they were started building that house. And do you have any history of the person that decided they were going to build that home, especially at that era, because it was very difficult to get anything done at that time?
Right off, I can't think of the man's name that built the house, but we're kind of thinking he might have been an editor of the paper that was published in Murfreesboro at that time, but we don't know for sure. We don't have anything definite that says it was the right person, but he went bankrupt before it was finished, and then the bank took it back and used it for a bank for a while. And then other people moved in and finished working on it. We have a picture, and I'm not sure what year, but it was being re-roofed. And the roofers were sitting up on top of the house. And neighborhood must have been about the same back then, because they were sitting there with shotguns and stuff.
Uh-oh.
On top of the roof. So.
I wonder what year that was.
I don't know. I don't know if it was in the 1800s, or if it was in 1892 when it was remodeled, or if it was in the early 1900s. I'm not sure.
Was it still a bank at that time?
No. No, I think it had been into a house at that time.
I can't imagine a bank even being in there, because it's not structured for doing business. The way everything's set up.
I don't know. The brick walls, they're 9 brick thick on the first floor.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
And in the beginning, it didn't look like it does now, because it did have a porch that went all the way around the house. the windows, the window on the right was replaced. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, it was, would have been like the window on the left. They might have been able to come up with some sound part of that house to, I think you're thinking store the money and that kind of stuff. But
now during the walk and that they're going to do over there, the visual, are people going to walk by your home?
Probably not. They'll probably walk down Roberts and over to the cemetery from there.
Well, that would have been to me, they almost need to redirect it to go by your home, because it is so interesting. I mean, people, a lot of times when you drive down East Main Street, we're used to seeing those homes all the time. And sometimes I think we almost just inadvertently look away without really gathering what you see. But I still have that way about me that I love to look at the old houses. I like the old Clardy house, the guest house, which is still very interesting to me. And of course, Jim Smythe's home. I just love that place. But there's just something about your house that really has a major draw to me. And want to let you know that the last part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevel, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. And at Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. Go see them today, and they will help you drive away in your dream vehicle. And while you're driving away, you might also remember that you get oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
This is Steve Grimsley with Zippy Shell. Are you looking for storage? Perhaps you're preparing your home for sale, downsizing, or just in need of some extra space. Well, then you should give us a call. We offer convenient, affordable storage solutions right here in Rutherford County. We deliver a storage container to you, you pack it, and we'll pick it up and store your goods in our secure facility. We are locally owned and operated. To check out our grand opening specials, give us a call at 216-7879 or visit us at zippyshell.com. Save time, save money, save everything.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Fall in love with Murfreesboro's newest Italian restaurant, Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday on Broad at the Old Shoney's location.
Enjoy 79 menu items under $6.99, pizza, salad, subs, pita wraps, calzones, strombolis. With a menu like Gondolier's, there's something for everyone. Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday
on Broad in the Old Shoney's location.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
With today's guest, Sarah Bell.
Are you ready, Brian?
That's what that finger means.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, Sarah Bell, you were talking about the board meeting that they're getting ready to have in South Dakota.
Yes.
What is going to be there on the table?
Well, I went back week before last to Partnership for Housing Board. And Partnership for Housing is a nonprofit organization that's to provide housing for some of the people that live on the reservation. And all of us that have been up there know that there's definitely a shortage of housing. There's three or four or five families that live in one house. And and you know, they're just so overcrowded. But Pinky is the head honcho, whatever her term, her of this partnership. Mm-hmm. And right now they have 11 people that have qualified for a loan to build a house, and mm-hmm. they're trying to get funds to get them started and that kind of stuff. And
now, how do they get qualified?
They go through the bank process just like you and I do. So
it's pretty difficult for people to qualify for that.
Very difficult for them to qualify for a loan, and they work with them for weeks mm-hmm. trying to get them to get their credit rating up and that kind of stuff, and work on that.
Do you guys supplement that somehow?
Yes. They would provide some funds to go mm-hmm. toward closing, or some funds to help them, you know, to throw into the cost of the house to keep them from having to pay the full amount.
And then, you see an element of pride in the people once they qualify.
And the pride that of the people that own their homes.
Now, a lot of the building, is that given to them as far as the people that go in? Like you go up there, and I know a lot of people that have been up there from our church were experts in the building industry that had gone up there to actually give some of their talents.
Yes. She had at one time a nonprofit that was, they relied on people to come in and build the houses. Mm-hmm. Self-help housing was what it was called.
Right.
But they found that they couldn't always depend on people coming in exactly when they needed to. You know, mm-hmm. if the air conditioner guy may come in, but they may be 6 or 7 weeks from putting in an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. So it got to be pretty hard for them to do those self-help houses mm-hmm. and get those completed because of having people to come in at the right time to get them done. This way, they can have contractors, and they're trying to create jobs also in having, well, the college that I mentioned before does building trades, so that they're teaching people how to build, and would somebody could get a contractor's license and go into contracting, and they would be able to build these houses, and native people get first choice.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that is neat. I'm really excited. We go back in December and finish up some of the things that we started at this meeting week before last, and I'm really excited about it because it's going to be housing that people can afford, and you know, there's a few little plans that they have that they can choose from mm-hmm. that they, you know, they would want. There's not a large.
How do these people live before you guys started doing that? I know they're on the reservation, but how in the world are they able to make it through the winter? And another thing I wanted to ask you was, why in the world do you guys pick December to go up there? Because it's so cold.
It is cold in December. Well, that's just actually when she decided to have the meeting, and I've been to a couple of meetings in December, and it can be really tricky getting in and out of the airport. But, you know,
it looked like you could accomplish so much more if the weather was
actually doing any physical labor while we're there. It's just planning. They probably have closed down construction right now. Well, I don't know, but now it's 100 degrees when I was up there week before last. Mm-hmm. But you know, it probably the major part of construction has been shut down till March or so.
We were talking about Fern earlier before you guys built her house.
We built her house. It was in October.
You had heat and air and everything.
Yes, everything.
How in the world, here she was 70 years old, how could she make it through such a harsh winter like she did without having anything?
I don't know. I don't know how she made it. I don't have a clue. I don't know.
But and she chose to come back there. You
yes,
know
she
that,
did.
That's the thing. She wanted to be around her people and wanted to be around the old ways. And you know, that's hard for most of us to understand because we're so used to comfort and
right.
And it's amazing to me.
Well, her house was one of the first houses that on the reservation that was built on a slab, and they, you know, when we said that's what we're going to do, everybody was questioning. And she made us promise we wouldn't tear our house down. because she's afraid the plumbing would freeze over the winter. So we left her outhouse standing, and
bless
her. As far as I know, it's still there.
Well, Sarah Bell, it's been very nice.
Thank you.
I always enjoy your company. I enjoy your stories, and I enjoy what you do, not only for this community, but also for the people in South Dakota. And I wish everybody out there had a little bit of what you have inside you that makes you do what you do. And I want to thank you so much for being here. And tomorrow we have Alan Lovelace. And I guess we'll be talking about photography and maybe shooting a little bit, because he loves to skeet shoot. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.